Welcome. You're listening to Evolver Planet Radio. What's up, Evolver Planet? Welcome to the show. I am your host, Jonah Bolt, and joining us as always, we have Aaron Shaw.
Hey, Evolver Planet. Today's Friday, January 20th, 2012. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us on the show tonight is Michael Mills. That was some of Michael Mills' music we'll be playing at the first half of the show. And Michael Mills will be joining us just in a little bit after we give you some Evolver updates.
Yeah, I'll be giving you a Spore City update on my local Spore in Los Angeles, California. So lots to share there. I really like Michael Mills' music. That's pretty awesome.
It is. It sounds in transit, and I know that he has a lot to do with that. So we're also going to be getting a special guest interview in the second half of the show with Balsam. And she basically is a nature spirit communicator, and she does some amazing work. And we're going to be joined by her on the second half of the show. And with that, let's jump right into some Evolver updates. I know there's a lot going on. The Spores are doing all sorts of things since the new year. And I know that on Evolver and Reality Sandwich, there's always some new fun updates. So, Aaron, what do you have? Any good, fun new updates from Evolver for the Evolver Planet listeners?
Yeah, well, the best news for Evolver Planet is we have two new cities in the Evolver Spore Network. We've got one in St. Louis, Missouri starting up and one in Indianapolis, Indiana starting up. And we're likely to hear from the Indianapolis organizer pretty soon. I know she was up for an interview on the show, so we'll hear what they have going on. And then in general, one thing I want to draw attention to is that Reality Sandwich editor Jonathan Talat Phillips, who I know you had on the show, is going on tour with his book, The Electric Jesus, The Healing Journey of a Contemporary Gnostic. And I'm sure he shared about the book on the show. It's really awesome. Such a page turner. It's about how, you know, his transition from being a countercultural media activist to having his own mystical initiation, like a real Gnostic, like the title suggests, contemporary Gnostic. And then he finds like new ways of global transformation that are reflected in Evolver and Reality Sandwich and all that. So it's an awesome book. He's touring with it and doing readings and chakra activations in, oh gosh, it's all over the West Coast, and then he's going to hit the Midwest and the East Coast later in the year, but he's got stops coming up in Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Santa Barbara,
nice.
Here, Long Beach, and yeah, so that's one awesome thing to check out.
Very cool. So a big up and a shout out to Jonathan, and good luck with the new book. It's obviously making waves. I've seen a lot of chat about it on the Sporganizer's email. Really cool, really cool. Glad to get that information out there. And also we're going to be getting Ken Jordan doing an interview with him coming up in the next month or so. We're going to have him coming on the show as well. So we'll get some information from another founder of Evolver.net.
Cool.
Overworld that you found that you want to talk before we get Michael Mills in line?
Well, the only other news thing I thought that was really interesting was a news writer on Reality Sandwich, Niche, wrote about this new movie coming out called Wanderlust. It's a Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd movie. And they're like two overworked New Yorkers who have to hit the road after Paul Rudd's character loses his job. And they wind up at an intentional community and they do ayahuasca and just, you know, let all their fears go. And it's just a really funny Hollywood version of the intentional community lifestyle, and particularly the ayahuasca. Like in the trailer, Jennifer Aniston's in a tree saying, "I believe I can fly." And it's just the most
nice,
you know, shallow interpretation. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. It's a David Wayne movie, and I love David Wayne, so I'll see how he takes it on.
Very cool. Very cool. So that's it with the Evolver updates, and now joining us on the air is none other than Michael Mills with the Drums No Guns Foundation. He's a master percussionist and drummer, and what you're hearing in the background and for the first half of the show is Michael Mills' own original music. And Michael, thank you for joining us on the show. How are you?
How you doing, Star Bro?
I'm doing good, Star Bob. Thanks for coming
right
on the air.
It's a pleasure to be in Asheville, via to New Haven, Yale University, and all the good stuff there, man. What's going on?
I think we may have lost Michael.
No, I'm right here. I was just pausing to say what's happening.
Oh, okay. The phone was cutting out. Well,
thanks for coming on. Well, you know, what you're hearing is stuff I'm doing about music, rhythms, and song and dance to help heal the world.
That's what's up.
Taking
jump into
rhythms
it
from all cultures and blending them together and bringing cultures and traditions together without interfering with people's spiritual flow and creating like a salad bowl of humanity of people, you know, dancing and drumming their hearts. You know, I work with kids 1.5, 3 years old, and it's a celebration of life through our own heartbeat. So my music is about helping heal the world, heal the people. You know, the world don't need to be healed. There's the people on it.
Amen to that. And your music is a fusion, like you said, of all different rhythmic beats from all over the world. And you've been doing this for a long time. You led the Million Mom March in Washington, D.C. with 900,000 mothers through the streets of Washington. And you do all sorts of humanitarian work and different projects. And
Stand for Children with Marion Edelman Wright with 2,000 Voice Sing America Sing. And with our own stuff, we do Drums Across America. We're doing community building concert campaigns with youth enrollment. For prevention, we fight against crime and violence with giving kids in schools passion to be themselves. And so this is what we're building pretty much, Feed the Children and Americans Feeding Americans. And it's about celebrations. So you feed them to lead them, but it's a community thing, you know, all over. We're talking about the homeless. We're, you know, working with some major things, looking to serve 1 million people in 2012 and getting 100,000 kids all over the United States into some positive passion stuff. They need some programs, you know, and that's what, you know, Star Bro, you know the deal. That's what it's about. Asheville, you know, L.A., Florida. We want to drop food on people and drop music and love on people, you know, like you're doing on the radio, man.
And that's, it's, I'm sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, hey, so Michael, I'm just curious, you know, I have just heard that one segment of your music, and I'm just curious, how do you bring this music to the people that you do? Do you go to schools, or do you have, like, a way to reach people?
Well, we have drum circles. We just did the Mashantucket Pequot Museum up in Connecticut for a museum. They had a gallery called Indivisible. I work with the Amistad, all of your major events, the Martin Luther King event at the state capitol for 16 years. And then we go to the Yale Peabody Museum and we drum and dance with the dinosaurs. It's called Fossilitis. Every year we have fun with the spirit. So children everywhere, we travel. This is why we're looking to do 25 cities with Americans Feeding Americans. You can go to AmericansFeedingAmericans.org and see our collaboration with Feed the Children with over 2,600 truckloads. We're looking to unload in communities and create arts in every city. You know, that's the only thing we have, sweetie, to heal people with.
That's right, and it's so important.
Am I answering what you're asking me? I mean, I know I see something we all are a part of, and the energy is just getting it to people and the homeless and serving humanity, whatever needs to be done. I would love to get up with. You were telling me some blues guitarist, Jonah. I'd love to get up with. What's his name?
Oh, Chuck Beatty. We had him on the show last week. Yeah, Chuck Beatty from Asheville.
Yeah, I would love to.
Jazz guy.
And then there's a couple other pieces we're doing. We're doing a piece, a composition for Obama called Somehow We Made It. And I'm a composer and uses the drum as a trade to set up my foundation. And then I begin to compose all that stuff. You'll hear Love is the Answer to Love is the other track about Mother Teresa and Princess Diana. A composition that I'm at symphonically. I also work, if Jonah hadn't told you, with Cab Calloway's daughter. So I produce and manage. We're doing big band music of today with cultural crossover. So that's just the drum segue.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know CeCe Calloway is a big support of all this, as Cab Calloway was. And creativity, music, and arts is so important right now because of what's happening with the planet and this transformation. And Michael, talking about energies, I mean, how do you use these energies in your music and what you do with the kids? I mean, what energies are you feeling this year?
Well, I feel that it's astronomical and it's profound that the kids are engaging like effortlessly, because it's like breaking. You still there?
Yep.
It's like breaking out of a prison camp or something. These kids are. I had 500 kids last Friday, and unbelievable, you know. Unbelievable. Oh, Scott, that's my son calling me. He just left, and I'll get him. He's home. But, yeah, it's just tapping into a drum circle. Is everybody expressing themselves freely. Like if you get a group of people in a park and everybody brings what they have, it's not traditionally where we have to do the classical. It's about freedom. So it's always been, for 35 years or so, letting people just come and play. And then you make music out of it. When you master rhythms, you're able to direct people to express themselves without interfering with their expression. So that's what we do with kids. We're right across the street from Yale University, who has the greatest Yale child study care. So it's actually getting into children, you're right, to prevent them and stop all of this coup that's getting ready to happen in America with these kids. The bullying, and what they're doing so many things. They're being fed medicines they shouldn't eat. And it's just a matter of suppressing kids. So my heart is into children, really. And that's why I let 800,000 moms and parents with the Million Mom March. And I drum for 2,000 voices all over the country. And I want to keep that going with this Feed the Children thing and what Jonah's doing in Asheville. And bring all of this stuff, Calloway to Asheville.
Absolutely.
And bring us all of, you're getting a taste of it. It's like going in a vineyard. We have a whole garden of stuff we want to share with the world.
I thought it was interesting how drum circles kind of came to the forefront around Occupy Wall Street. I remember it was so amusing that there was this 24-hour drum circle outside of Mayor Bloomberg's townhouse. And I just wondered if is there any like increased interest in drum circles, or any more like social or protest significance to drum circles?
And hear what you're asking. When it doesn't become a protest tool, it's 500 nations, native nations in America now, and it's the most prevalent thing we have to heal with, because it touches us to the earth and it keeps us grounded to that. Because it's the closest thing to the very thing that keeps us alive, is our heartbeat. And when people get into that, it's not even a protest tool. It's a powerful, you know, it's a universal language understood by all, you know. From healing the sick to waging of war, it continues to stir our human spirit. But, you know, profoundly, it's all we have. That's what we live by. We teach kids about 60 lifetimes a minute. You know, stuff that's really relative. I hung out with a physics professor for 5 years with this other pianist. So I got into energy and the reverberation of electricity in people, and, you know, creating. How I met Jonah was the same way. It was unbelievable. Pine Memorial Auditorium. We were saving shelter for dogs and the fallen police officers, and it was a big to-do thing. They have a harbor yard at 10,000 people in their next arena, but we met in that, you know, this is what we're looking to do. And your name again. I apologize. I'm in the zone right now.
That's okay. I'm Aaron.
Aaron. All right. Say hello.
Hey, yeah, I just happened, I had to wonder, though, if anybody kind of, like, went to a drum circle in a protest state and sort of tuned into that, like, you know, tribal strength, that heartbeat that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there. You just got to get into this, like you're diving in the water. It's out there. Believe me, you can pull it up anywhere, and there are people doing that, you know, outside of the protest thing. Mm-hmm. There's no resistance when you go in the spirit source. You see, you can be free and at peace without the confrontation. You know what I mean?
How do people, are people really receptive to that message? Do you talk about the energy and the heartbeat to people? Yeah?
Absolutely. I'm a witness. I've marched 800,000 people, my dear. I've drummed for 2,000 kids that were so in awe from all over the country to hear the drum beat under the basic live rhythm section. I've done major events, and yes, the temperament has been with me for over 3 decades. So to answer the question, I assure you that this is the passion that's going to elevate our kids' education, because that's where they are. We're not tapping into their passion. That's how simple it is. This music and this art is the kids, that's what they want. They want to be heard and loved, and we neglect them, and we want to beat their brains up to teach them, but we don't tap into their hearts.
Yeah, and that's what's so important this year, so important with the work that you're doing.
That's everywhere in the world with kids. I'm telling you, I've journeyed, that's what my mission with the Creator was, is to do that, and I've journeyed that, not like Moses around that mountain 40 years, but I sure went the length of going not around the same mountain, being confused. I know the temperament now with children is where everybody's leading to, because they've been neglected. You got to feed them all. You can't feed some of them and then let the other ones go. You know, that's where you are. The homeless people, there's an opportunity for everybody. There's enough that they can share this love we're talking about and make
Absolutely.
People feel hope. That's what it's about.
That's beautiful, Michael, and thank you
for
all the work you do.
Bringing celebrities along, too, and they'll be endorsing what we're saying, like Cab Calloway's daughter and stuff like that. People recognize already, Aaron.
Huh.
And what do you do, Aaron? You're a radio commentator?
Well, I just recently started co-hosting with Jonah, and so I write. I'm a news writer for a couple different websites.
I bet you write songs, too.
I don't write songs. I have my degree in creative writing.
You better
now,
get busy, girlfriend.
Yeah.
You would never ask me that question ever again.
There you go.
You write stuff. You need to write songs. And that will definitely fulfill your desires, too. Your child will come out. Now, you have a degree in what again?
Creative writing.
Oh.
So I was saying, you know, I just really miss having my poetry workshops. But I wanted to mention also, it's
you write
really
poetry.
Yeah, but
I do background music for poetry. Some of that stuff you hear, I can design any kind of music you want that you will love. I have poets. Send your email, and I'll send you this sister from Houston called Love Messenger in Guzzi. You'll love her stuff, and I love to hear your stuff. See, we just made a bond. You're creative. Can I get some of that?
Yeah.
No, no. Don't do it. She knows, bro.
This is what
I'm talking about. I mean, and I hope this is what people need to hear. It's about the love that we have to share, and we find the most dearest thing to us and express it to each other, and that's it. Unconditional.
That's it. And Starbop, real quick before we wrap up, can you give us some websites for the listeners to check out and some of the stuff to update where you can find some more information on you?
Well, go to HALA worldmusic.com. It's HALAworldmusic.com. And then you can go to AmericansFeedingAmericans.org. And that pretty much, HALA is the world music stuff. Some of my drum music there and some sound score stuff we do. You'll hear it. HALAworldmusic.com. and some of the connections with the United Nations and Culture for Peace and things of that nature you can follow. And my site will be up again. We got crippled somewhere down the line. But go to Hollow World Music and you'll get a lot of information and some links there. And hopefully we can come to Asheville in the late spring sometime.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you down here. And Starbop, it's always good talking to you, having you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
And Aaron, it's a pleasure meeting. I'd love to see some of your writing and put some background to it.
Sure thing. Nice talking to you.
In the wind.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear some more music. And when we come back, Aaron's going to give us an update on the Los Angeles Spore Group. So we'll be right back and hear some more of Michael Mills' music. Welcome back, Evolver Planet. That was an awesome interview from Michael Mills, Starbop, a.k.a. And again, thanks for joining us. And so let's just jump into the Spore City update from Aaron. What do you got for us? What's going on in good old Los Angeles, California?
Well, as always, we have a couple events coming up that we're co-sponsoring. See, the next event is January 25th. It's called Visionary Creativity and Designing the New Earth Culture. And this is with our friend Alpha Lowe, who introduced us to the Gift Circle, which we've done a couple times at Evolver Spores. So Visionary Creativity and Designing the New Earth Culture covers creative social architectures, gift economy processes like the Gift Circle I just mentioned, and non-hierarchical kind of governance structures. This is a lot about community building and, you know, group dynamics. And there's like an emphasis on envisioning the planetary culture you'd like to see, the one you would like to emerge. And so yeah, that's a really, it's a cool, like, interactive event. We haven't done anything like this for quite a while, but that's going to be, yeah, January 25th in Mid-City, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then after that, we have, in February 13th, we have an event called Love Songs at the church in Ocean Park. That's in Santa Monica. And that's like an evening of poetry and songs and a performance of the mystical love poems of Rumi. So that's another thing we're co-sponsoring with our friends who do the Love Amp project. And then another news, we just recently last month did the Magic of Co-Creation workshop with Starhawk. Starhawk is so awesome to work with. I've done a couple workshops with her. And the point of this Magic of Co-Creation was working with activists to learn, you know, other community building techniques, with what, like I was just talking about, and more effective collaboration practices, things like that. And what also is cool is that some people from the Starhawk workshop are actually working directly with Occupy LA to form affinity groups and kind of carry on that Occupy mission, which I think is so important.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but if you're interested in any of what I was talking about, you should find us on evolver.net/Los Angeles or on Facebook. We're under Evolver Los Angeles. And also, I'm really proud to say We have a video on the very top of Reality Sandwich right now of Ayahuasca Monologues. Back in October, we did a performance series called Ayahuasca Monologues that featured people telling their own, you know, soul-bearing, mind-bending, personal ayahuasca experiences, and it's meant to be in the most respectful manner. And we released that video just last week on Reality Sandwich of Tony Moss sharing his story about healing his entire lineage in an ayahuasca journey. So it's really incredible.
Amazing. Really cool. And your spores out there, like, generally how many members do you have per spore? That you, what kind of crowds you guys see out there?
Well, you know, it really varies. We actually haven't been following the spore format as much. Like, I mean, you know, there are spore themes, like there was the Unified Field, and before that it was like Occupy the Dream, things like that. And we've actually started just kind of covering topics that are relevant to Los Angeles, like labeling GMOs and things like that. So it really varies. We've done events with up to 200 people. Typically, though, we've been getting about, you know, 20 to 30, and that's nice. Because they're very, like, specific subject kind of events, like the GMO labeling, or, like, we did the Shaman's Pharmacy with Chris Killam. So we've kind of, like, leveled out around the, you know, 50 range.
Cool. Well, that's a good sized crowd. So that's awesome. And with that, let's jump into our second half of the show guest. And this is a lady that found Evolver.net and contacted us through the show and wanted to come on, and is very excited about the Evolver family. And she is also has many gifts that she's aware of and tuned into, and can communicate with the nature realm, which is an amazing thing to do. I was talking to her quite a bit earlier. And with that, Balsam, are you on the show?
I'm here. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you so much for coming on. So first, just give us a background of, you know, who you are and how you came to communicating with the nature realm and, you know, where it all began.
Okay, well, let's... I'll start with my name. My name is Balsam, as you said, but I just want people to know that that's not my legal name. I always draw a distinction between my legal name
legal
and
name
Balsam.
Is...
Sorry? Oh, okay, I thought you said something. Balsam I think of as my verbal costume or my tag. Easier to find me online through that name, I guess.
Gotcha.
And my legal name is Sibylla Proyschut. And I just like to make that distinction really clear so that anyone who's interested in what my names are can have that information. And as far as communicating with nature and where it all got started, I really think it started as a child when I would look at forests or trees or mountains and have this feeling inside of me that there's something there and I can connect with it, but I don't know how, and nobody's giving me any clues as to how. And it was just this feeling, just this intuition that was inside of me, and I also knew very early on that it wasn't something that I could really talk about very much with anyone around me. And then when I became older and more independent and out of my milieu that I'd grown up in, I started discovering that there were indeed tools and techniques available that a person could use to more consciously and reliably connect with other life forms. And I started exploring that, and here I am today.
Excellent. And some of the amazing things you do, I check out your website and some other stuff, is you communicate with microorganisms in your body, and you just posted up a recent article about that. And go into a little bit about, you know, why that's so powerful and why people should really, you know, try to do this and practice this on themselves.
Well, thank you for bringing that topic forward, because from my perspective, that's a really practical arena in terms of communication with nature. So all of us have billions, well, actually trillions of microorganisms in our bodies. And it's really interesting for me to think about that, you know, that this thing that I call my body, that I think of as me, has lots and lots of cells in it that are considered to be other species. And I think, you know, there's probably really interesting philosophical things one could go into there about, you know, well, what is personal identity at the physical level anyway, and so on and so forth. So you and I have about 10 times as many bacterial cells as we do human cells. Our human cells contain mitochondria, which is another species that became symbiotically attached with ours a long time ago, and that produce our energy. And they're not us. And then we've got viruses, we've got protozoa, we've probably got creatures living inside of us and on us and around us that we haven't even identified yet. And as we know from, you know, when we have a bacterial or viral infection, those creatures, when they're not living in balance and harmony with us, can create a lot of havoc. So we can have all kinds of symptoms, we can have infections and illnesses. So for me, one very practical application of the whole idea of communicating with nature is communicating with all those other life forms that make up our immediate ecosystem. And this is something that I have practiced on and off over the years, depending on my needs and my health challenges at that particular time in my life. And for me, the most important thing about communicating with the microorganisms that live with me is to have them understand what my life purposes are and what my needs are, and to get them lined up with that, because they do have tremendous energy and life force. And so I want them to be lending all of that energy and all of that life force to my goals rather than to somebody else's goals, you know, which is quite possible. When they enter a person's body or enter a person's field, they may come with an agenda attached that's been put there by someone else. It's very rare now that any creature on our planet hasn't had some contact with other human beings and with other humans' agendas. Or they might just have their own wild agenda. I'll grant that that is possible, that they haven't had contact with another human and they've just got their own agenda. And they definitely want to survive, and they have enormous energy in that direction. And that energy can be aligned with yours, and that's going to make a really big difference to your body if your cells and all the other cells, all the other creature cells that are walking around with you, if you're all on the same page, moving the same direction. And you're right, my blog this week at www.praisebe.info has got instructions for how to undertake communication with your own microbes.
Excellent.
Wow. Balsam, this is co-host Aaron. I listened to your Blog Talk Radio interview, and that sort of answered what you just said, answered one of the questions I wanted to ask you, which is that this communication implies that it's two-way, that I can communicate with the microbes in me, and I thought that was so intriguing. And so I wondered, what practices might you undertake if you want to start communicating with nature intelligence?
Okay, so first of all, thank you, Aaron, and nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So what kinds of practices might you undertake to communicate with nature intelligence? That's the question.
Yes.
Well, one of the reasons that I'm on the show is to promote the CD that I've made. It's called Feel the Love, Get the Respect from Nature with Music for You. I made it with Mexican percussionist Alfredo Villela. And that CD is an hour of dialogues with nature intelligence that help you to access the love and respect that the physical, natural, biological world has for you and for your life processes. So that's one very practical way that a person can do that, just by tuning in to nature intelligence by using the processes that are outlined on that CD. Another very simple thing a person can do is to simply observe a plant or an animal or a rock and become very quiet, become centered in their own breath, and allow for the possibility that not only are they observing this nature being, but that this nature being is observing them. And that it has awareness, it has intelligence, it has consciousness that's expressed very differently than the way a human would express those traits. But because it has a body and you have a body, there's a bridge there, there's an interface there, and there's a possibility of something going back and forth. And by the way, this can also be done with so-called man-made objects, which I think of as human-manipulated natural objects. Their qualities and their type of consciousness will be different than a wild creature's or wild being's, but nonetheless, there is consciousness and intelligence there as well. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, a funny kind of example that leaps to mind is that most of us spend a lot of time every day with a computer, which is an example of nature intelligence that's been highly manipulated by people. And the silica and other components, the electricity that we're dealing with there, is expressing intelligence in ways that interface with human intelligence pretty intensely. And so I like to sit back sometimes and have a kind of meta-analysis or meta-feeling about that and go, yeah, like, wow, you know, here's this machine that is elements of nature that have been organized in such a way as to allow me to get all of these different things done. So there's a wide, wide range of possibilities there. I think that the real keys to moving forward are cultivating a sense of inner quiet, cultivating a sense of willingness to be surprised or to encounter the unknown, cultivating a sense of respect for the intelligence and the consciousness of all the beings around you. And, yeah, I had one other thing in my mind, but I can't remember it right now. I'm sorry.
I love that idea of the body as a bridge or interface to other beings, especially after you mentioned the trillions of organisms living on, in, and around us. It's like you just mentioned at the beginning, it does kind of beg the question, what does physical identity mean? So that's really an extraordinary practice to cultivate, even though it's when you do your meta analysis, I'm sure that's the only conclusion you could come to. It's amazing to hear.
Great, thank you.
And also, Balsam, when I was talking with you before, you had said that how you communicate is you may ask a flower, say, a question, and that by your body motions, your body movements, will give you the answers. Can you tell us a little bit how that works?
Sure. We were discussing a practice called muscle testing or kinesiology. And muscle testing is a method of accessing the body's innate intelligence and wisdom through involuntary muscular movements. And all of us will generally be quote-unquote wired to have specific yes and no responses. So I'm on the radio and people can't see my yes and no responses, but basically if I'm asking my whole body to give me a yes response, there's this kind of shudder and leap that tends to go mostly through my left shoulder and arm and side. And then if I ask for no response, there's a drop downward through my whole body. It's not that particular response for me isn't limited to my left side. And it'll be different for everybody. Some people bob back and forth like a pendulum. They'll go forward for a yes, backward for a no, or they'll go forward for a no, backward for a yes. Yes and no are neutrals in this way of thinking, because you need both in order to arrive at something that's accurate. And what I'll do is I'll request that nature intelligence set up what I call a working connection between myself and another nature being. And once that working connection muscle tests as being in place, then I can verbally ask questions that are directed toward this other nature being, and my body will reflect a yes or no answer to me. Now, I do want to mention here that I would only consider it appropriate to work with nature beings that are considered by the social and legal standards that we all live under to be under my stewardship. And that would include nature beings who are supported by taxes that I pay. So, for instance, I might, work with that portion of a public park that's supported by my taxes, but I wouldn't be working with somebody else's house without their permission, or somebody else's car, or somebody else's dog without getting their specific permission.
And I know we were talking also earlier, and you mentioned something that was really interesting. You talking about a type of plant that basically has its own force field to deal with the high altitudes up in the mountains. And I thought that was really interesting, because it's that goes to say with all life forms, I believe, on the planet, where we are sort of pre-wired to handle certain situations. And can you tell us about that specific plant and how that one works?
Well, I'm not an expert by any means. I have friends who have written a book called Tree Whispering, and they discuss in some depth in there the intelligence of plants. And this is something that I think somehow people haven't really caught up with the science yet. But there are thousands of experiments. Cleve Baxter was one of the main people doing them, that show, you know, that plants have memories, that plants have awareness, that they have emotional responses to people and things they've encountered before, and they can remember people and circumstances they've encountered before, and they're all involved in creating the right situations for their own life to flourish. And one of the plants I mentioned to you was a plant that apparently grows up high in the Himalayas. I've never been there, so I've only seen pictures of it, but it actually generates a greenhouse type structure around itself in order to help it to deal with the high altitudes. And this is some kind of biological structure that lets the light through but allows the plant to stay warm or sheltered within that structure. And, you know, it's one of thousands of examples that could be brought forward. Like, for instance, cacti living in the desert have ways of chemically repelling other cacti from growing too close to them, because there's a limited water supply. And so they know they can't grow too close together, and they give out chemical signals that tell the other cacti, you can't grow here, this is my water supply. And there's also the philodendron. That's another interesting plant, because that actually will grow like a snake through the rainforests and leave the ground entirely, is my understanding, reaching up toward the canopy until it finds the appropriate conditions for its growth. But I have to say, I feel like I'm starting to get into slightly into waters where I may be not entirely accurate. My friends Basha Alexander and Jim Conroy are really the plant experts. They teach workshops all around the United States on a practice called tree whispering that allows people to communicate with trees and restore stressed trees to health without the intervention of any chemicals or surgery or anything like that, simply by working with the energy flow in that tree and helping it reorient itself to its environment and reestablish its life processes in an environment that's been stressing it.
Wow. That's really amazing.
Like, yeah.
It is. To my
yeah. Absolutely. And give the listeners again, Balsam, before we go, your website, and also the music that's playing is your CD that you sent me, and that's what's playing in the background right now for the listeners. That's Feel the Love, Get the Respect CD. And what's your website where we could find out some more information?
My website is my blog, praisebe.info. That's praisebe.info. And the name of that blog is Praise to Incarnation. So basically I named it that to bring forward the idea of, you know, instead of trying to get away from incarnation, that there's a real value and a spirituality in becoming fully engaged with the physical, natural, and biological intelligence that gives us our bodies and that surrounds us. And the CD itself is available at loveandrespect.info. It comes with a money-back guarantee. For those who might want to try it but are wondering, like, will I really like this? And I'd also nice. Like to mention that that CD is available at the Meditating Mantis bookstore in Roswell, Georgia.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Balsam, for coming on the show and shedding some light and love on the nature realm. That's really interesting and exciting stuff to hear about it and to try out. So thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jonah. I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed talking with you and meeting you tonight, Aaron, as well.
Yeah, great talking to you, Balsam. That's amazing stuff. I have to read more.
Great. Anything Absolutely. You want to tell me about it or dialogue with me about it, I'd love to hear.
Cool. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Excellent. Thanks, Balsam. You have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye. And with that, let's just go into really quickly, Aaron, let's just go over the who we have on the upcoming weeks and what's going on for the show.
Yeah, so next Friday we'll have Ben Lawson, founder of the Gaia Mind Institute. He's on to talk about permaculture and goddess temples. And our musical guest is Thea Summer Deer, a singer and songwriter. Week after that, we're going to have author Chris Hoover and Maja Daou, the White Witch of L.A. So you can check out, for Chris Hoover, imagine-freedom.com. And for Maja Daou, godismyboyfriend.com. And, yeah, that's
February,
the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, then February 17th, we have on a really awesome music artist. We have Cyber Pixie coming on. She's the world's leading female VJ, the top one in the world. And she was just out at Burning Man. She had her themed camp out there. She does Pearl Jam. I mean, she does some of the biggest artists. So she'll be joining us. She's an awesome guest. I've had her on before. And we also have Baker. Baker coming on the line talking about his Baker's recipe for success. He's got a new book coming out, How to Be Awesome Baker Style. You can check him out at bakerthebrand.com. And you can check out Cyber Pixie at cyberpixie, cyberpixie.com. You can check out some more information on her.
And as always, you can stream our archive at evolverplanetradio.com and check out evolver.net and realitysandwich.com for more articles, essays, videos, etc. on all of these subjects.
And that's it. And just to let the new listeners out there know, Evolver is a new social network for conscious collaboration, and it provides a platform for individuals, communities, and organizations to discover and share the new tools, initiatives, and ideas that will improve our lives and change the world. And with that, I will wish Evolver Planet goodbye and good night, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Good night, Planet Evolver.
And here's some more Balsam's music. Thank you.